thank you very much. We are to start our meeting. So I'm personally late and I need to apologize for that. I think everyone has got an agenda, which has got three sessions. And session one, we have opening. I'll declare the meeting open on behalf of everyone. And also welcome the department. Welcome the National Treasury. I'm not sure what that fund guys are allowed. We would also welcome them if they are allowed. And welcome members of the committee and administration and management in the various roles and functions. You are all welcome. And everyone is welcome. Number two is the safe tabling of the agenda. The agenda is as it is. In the main, we are to request the department to table the operational response on 29-2010 Consolidated General Report on Local Government Audit Outcomes. But also, if it's possible, we are just from local government elections, and we have not yet met, particularly at between this committee and the minister, just to get them a feeling of where we are in terms of the newly elected municipalities. Maybe if there can be an expression on that, precisely because as a committee, we expect much in this dispensation. And I think it will be proper for the committee and the minister to really meet on a more intense discussion on the various issues. But today is very, very specific. I should indeed note whoever is presenting on behalf of the department. But if there is anything else to say, are we on track? I would therefore, without waste of time, really ask the Department of Cooperative Governance and Transitional Affairs to table the plan, and we'll all engage thereafter with the plan before the National Treasury. Or if the National Treasury is available, we can take all these presentations, engage to save time, if members agree, so that we are not dogmatic on procedures. I'm saying this precisely because our committee is wounded. You would be aware that members are not around. Members of the SOP, I think 90-something% are outside for oversight visits. It is only this few that you see today. So we don't have members. Hence, this is the situation. It's the week of the oversight. Thank you very much. Thank you. Welcome. that Patrick can take off.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, honorable members, colleagues from Treasury and AG. My name is Mawethu Kolani Mtshuta. I'm the Chief Financial Officer of the Department. I want, first of all, to put on record the apology by the Head of Department, Mr. Errol Africa, who is unfortunately on leave for this week. And the appointed acting head of department is also engaged in another committee meeting, that is the portfolio committee meeting, which is taking place at the same time with this one. And that we only realized it late yesterday that there was this clash. So he has requested me, as chief financial officer of the department, to come and present the department here.
We want this committee to note the disappointment and the undermining of this particular meeting by the department, because this meeting was not arranged yesterday. It was arranged more than 2 weeks ago, or even before we went into recess. And therefore, we will allow this process to go on. But if it was my will, I would have stopped this whole process immediately.
Thank you. As long as it's not your will, we'll go on.
It's not your will, is it?
Okay, let's go on.
No, the concern is noted, but I can comfortably say that it's not a question of undermining the committee, but the DG was fully committed to come, but for various reasons under which are not under his control, he is not part of us. And Chairperson, I've noted the request that you would like to see the minister, and that message will be conveyed to him immediately, and I think that is also his wish to meet this committee. But in terms of the new councillors, the department is fully engaged with SALGA in terms of conducting the induction program for all new councillors that have taken over. The department is fully participating on that. In terms of the presentation, next on my right-hand side, there is Mr. Mzilikazi Manyika, who is the chief director responsible for the clean audit within the department, and he will be doing the presentation on behalf of the department. I thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson and the committee. I will quickly run through the presentation. In terms of the presentation, it will be short. It will be quickly about the purpose, which is in line with what you requested us to do, to talk about those particular issues which are outlined here. Now, in terms of the papers, we are not going to regurgitate some of the information which we have engaged with the committee ourselves, as well as some of the information which the Auditor General of South Africa has already presented, which we are aware the committee is aware of. All what we'll do is to give an update on some of the initiatives which we are embarking upon by way of progress update. In terms of the mechanisms for providing support to municipalities, like we said last time, we have the provincial coordinating committees, which have been established throughout the countries, which are primarily driven by the provincial departments responsible for local government, provincial treasuries, and in some provinces in particular, for example, the Northwest, the Premier's office is the one which is coordinating the whole mechanism. So these are meeting quarterly, and in certain instances, they are meeting monthly, and they engage on the various issues in order to get input to guide municipalities. The support to municipalities, which the provinces are doing, is dictated by the nature of challenges which municipalities have. The challenges are not the same, and based on that, some of the support which the provinces are giving, it may appear operational, but in certain instances strategic, because of the challenges for municipalities across the board are not the same. The assistance which is provided by way of guidance includes, for example, the promotion of certain best practices across the country, such as the establishment of audit steering committees made up of senior finance officials within municipalities and other senior officials in those municipalities, so as to inculcate the culture of municipal senior management, prioritization and ownership of audit matters. So that is to put accountability at the highest level. Then also municipalities are advised on a number of things, such as ensuring that the issues to deal with audit resolutions, so that they are placed in the agendas of the audit units and audit committees. Like I said, some of this assistance appears operational, some strategic, because the challenges are not the same. For example, in the case of the Free State, sometimes you'll find that those respective provincial departments get involved even in assisting municipalities, for example, on the issues of assisting them to trace documents and supporting the documents and vouchers which they have to deal with in order to deal with some of these audit-related matters, the preparation of annual financial statements, including bank reconciliations, which are necessary. Well, also some of the provinces also assist they themselves directly in terms of deploying finance experts to municipalities, but the National Treasury will talk more regarding what is done at the national level, because since the 1st of April this year, the issue of deployment of financial resources through cabinet decision, that task has been given to National Treasury. The DCOG is dealing with the issue of deployment of technical experts like your engineering services, because the former DBSE and the manager has been broken into two between these two departments. Now, some of the areas which we'll be embarking upon this year, and we have started, but some of it goes from last year, is the issues of the establishment of new public accounts committees, as well as supporting municipalities to establish internal audit units and audit committees. So these are governance-related issues. Monitoring the implementation of municipal audit remedial action plan to address the 2009-10 audit outcomes. Quickly, by way of background, when we presented last time, we indicated to the committee that prior to the local government elections, we had one or three municipalities throughout the country which had municipal public account committees established, and these are important committees of councils which we think at that level will assist councils to drive issues around the campaign towards improved clean audit. However, after the local government elections, all those committees had to be dissolved and municipalities had to start again. One of the issues which we said last time when we came to this committee, including the portfolio committee, earlier this year, it was the issue that there was a guide which we needed to finalize at national level. And we are happy to announce that we'll be in a position to get that issued to municipalities during this week. We have made move there together with the National Treasury to address some of the impediments, taking into account the prior guidance which was given through the Municipal Finance Management Circular 32 of 2006, in which we have done some enhancement. So that served before the local government meeting last week Friday on the 12th of August. And like I said, there are a few minor refinements which we are doing, and we'll be issuing the guide to municipalities in this particular week. And we are saying this to the committee because we think it will be necessary for you to assist us as we engage with the provinces and municipalities as well, because we have removed most of the stumbling blocks. So the forecast now after this week, it will be for us to increase the momentum towards the establishment of these municipal public account committees, and thereafter together with Treasury and the Associations of Public Account Committees as well as SALGA will engage on the issues of strengthening these committees by way of training. Well, I won't get too much into the primary functions. We just put them here for the committee for it to note some of the functions of these committees. And we may email to the committee secretariat that document later this week, which we have issued, so that the committee has that document, so we'll do it later this week. So, like I said, those are the functions of the committee. Now, one of the issues which came out of the audit findings for the 2009-10, it was that when you look at the governance structures of municipalities, in particular the audit committees and even the internal audit committees, so there was a concern which was raised. And based on the Auditor General's assessment, we have started the process of sending a survey to municipalities, close to about 116, which were indicated in that report as the one, when you look at the structure, so that there were serious concerns, including the 48, which the AG recommended that we needed to do something quickly. And the purpose is for us to find out what is the reason in terms of some of these municipalities that these internal audit units and audit committees, why they haven't been established. And to, as of end of July, we had about 85 responses out of those 116, which we'll have to deal with the responses and together with Treasury see how we take it forward. But some of the preliminary things which are coming out is that some of the municipalities have outsourced the function for internal audit unit, some of them even up to 2014. So those are some of the things, but the issue is rather than talking to say that we need to get municipalities to establish, what we are trying to do is to get to the bottom as to why we do have some of those challenges, so that we'll have to come with the appropriate support mechanisms to assist. And also, as a department, we are in the process of finalizing the procurement process in terms of the memorandum of understanding which we have entered into with one institution in order for us to assist with providing a clear training to audit committees in order to enhance their functionality. But once we implement the thing, we'll do it in partnership with Treasury and the respective provincial department in order to ensure that we are not putting resources in the same municipalities, so that we put our resources where they can make a better impact. Now, one other thing is we just wanted to provide the committee with the update as of 21st of July regarding the state of the status of municipal audit remedial action plans to address the 2010 audit outcomes. And the information is as it is on the slide. Well, with respect to one of our concerns based on this information is the Free State. As you'll see, the row number two, that out of the 24 municipalities as of 21st of July, there were only five audit remedial action plans which have been put in place, but the relevant officials in that province have already alerted the relevant MEC responsible for local government about the issue of non-compliance by municipalities, because we are also aware that the provincial treasury did send a circular in that province to municipalities. But that number as well, it also takes into account that there are some of the audit which were not finished timely for a number of reasons. Now, with the housing, it's mainly the city of Johannesburg which was outstanding, as we are aware. That audit was only issued in July. Then with KZN, there is no issue there. With Limpopo, again there, the only outstanding municipality is because the audit was supposed to have been issued. I think it was supposed to have been the 22nd of July. But so it's 28-29. The other municipality had a clean audit there. So what they needed to do, it was really minor. With Mpumalanga, we have put an asterisk there because we still need a clear confirmation from the province for a number of reasons. From some of the information we're getting, it was that it's only one municipality which was outstanding. And as we are aware, three of those municipalities out of that 20 there, they had been audited. So what they needed to address is really minor issues. So basically, you talk about 17 municipalities. So the Northwest and the Northern Cape, those numbers which are outstanding there is mainly because of the audits were not finalized timely for a number of reasons, including late submission of the annual financial statements by the municipalities to the Office of the Auditor General. So the numbers which you see, which have got this municipal audit remedial actions, is mainly primarily in those instances where the audits have already been released. Well, the Western Cape, out of those five, which are outstanding, one of them it was because the audit was not yet released, but about four of them which we didn't put, the province needed to get a clear confirmation as to whether those were done, but that is not a bigger issue because, for example, for about two of them, it was the issue that the draft remedial action plans were in place, but that in the nutshell is the state of where it is at the moment. So out of the 278 municipalities, 230 do have the audit remedial action plans in order to address some of the issues which were raised. By way of conclusion, is that with all partners, we are exerting concerted effort towards improving municipal audit outcomes, and with a guide for establishing municipal public accounts committees having been concluded, the focus now will be on the actual establishment of the municipal public account committees and also strengthening their functionality by way of assistance of training. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Can members debate on the put? I see one hand and Honorable Nancy.
Yeah. Chair, thank you very much. You know, the point I raised earlier on leadership will always come back. Because, you know, sometimes we are going to engage on this particular situation because of the experiences we have as a committee. Precisely because this department does not provide that leadership that is needed. You know, are you dealing with compliance only, or are you making sure that you change the lives of our people on the ground? Because, you see, what you have given us and the experience we have on the ground, totally two different issues. You're talking about remedial action plans. You're not telling us as to how are you making sure or assisting that process, because you are supposed to assist municipalities to implement what you're talking about. And for an example, I can tell you now that the city of Tshwane is in serious trouble. And you're talking about remedial plans. And Tshwane has got one of those particular issues, problems. They are not assisting us at all. I want you to explain the details. So, that, you know, you're talking about the Eastern Cape. For an example, you go to, where's the Eastern Cape? Eastern Cape 4545. It's in a mess. I can tell you now that the Eastern Cape is in a mess. You know, the Eastern Cape, the Free State, the Northwest, Mpumalanga, you know, we had to go there precisely because of interventions. And you're saying the remedial plans. And as we speak now, just before we went into recess, we had a report, a different report for what you're giving us today. About municipalities. Now, what is the... That's why I'm saying leadership, because you see, you might not be able to answer some of these issues that will be questioned, because your leadership is running away from us. And those are the issues I'm trying to raise, Chair, because this report is empty. I must indicate it's empty. It's not telling us anything. It's not telling us as to where you're going to, how are you going to assist municipalities. The best thing is you're telling us you're going to train these new councillors. But the administration has not changed. The officials have not changed. They are the same people who are supposed to implement on the ground. Yes, politicians might have changed. Yes, that we agree with. Now, for the last 2 years that we have been here, 2.5 years that we have been here, we have been talking about one thing, about all these provinces, and there's nothing that the department is providing us with. It's these empty reports that you're giving us. I've got a lot of questions to ask, but what's the use of it? You're telling me Johannesburg did not do 1, 2, 3, that's the problem. Just before the elections, there were serious problems in Johannesburg. You know about them. What did you do about that situation? I'm telling you, Tshwane is now, as we speak, might be under Section 139 very soon, even with his new councillors. The Auditor General presented a report to us about municipalities. That report is very dark. There's nothing that shows us. The Free State is west. The Northwest is west. If you were doing something, there would not have been all of these protests that are taking place throughout the whole country. If you were doing something. Now, the biggest question we ask, are we dealing with compliance, like what Cape Town is doing, the Cape Town municipality? They're trying to comply rather than servicing the people on the ground. You see? Because they'll employ a lot of consultants to just chow the money, you know, so that they comply with and they indicate that they've used the money. But there's no service delivery on the ground. Now, is this department doing the same thing? Now, those are the questions we're asking ourselves. Chair, I wanted to deal with a number of issues that were raised by themselves. But the first point is that this report does not tell us anything. And there's nothing new that they're giving to us. And therefore, I think I will be wasting a lot of time going into the report itself. And therefore, go back to the point that if this department is not serious, because they're undermining this particular committee, the leadership is not here. And I think that is wrong. Because, you know, the officials that are seated here will be put under unnecessary pressure, because they are not part of that core of leadership that must deal with these specific issues. And thank you, Chair. I think I'll just rest there.
Thank you, Honorable. Can we go to Honorable Lacy? Okay, as the Honorable Member said, you know what I was asking him, I'm trying to think, because yes, the report, I mean, it's clear what it's saying. But I had a story about the billing system of Johannesburg. There were problems. And now I'm trying to think, this meeting and what the department is trying to address, I mean, I was being told about the problems that are taking place in the country that we're trying to resolve in these municipalities, or this question of compliance. Because if you're talking about these committees, audit committees, the interest, as Honorable Matile is saying, we might ask, who is constituting, how are these committees being constituted? How informed are these people are in these committees, so that we can make sure that they are effective and efficient in ensuring that the finances are being handled in a proper manner? You know, if you ask those things and you are told in the Eastern Cape there are 45. I'm from the Eastern Cape. I know the municipality is the one that I'm from in Grahamstown. What is going on there?
Now I'm worried because you're flying too high. That's the problem. You're flying too high. I mean, we can't understand because I don't think you are in touch with the reality, practical reality. Or maybe because you are getting reports from someone. But the issue here, I don't think it's... That's why Honorable Matile is saying it's about compliance. This is what I'm hearing. You are complying because these things are being done. What impact are they making in transforming this municipality? I mean, I'm just worried because what I'm hearing here, it's interesting because it's right, it's these things that we want, but it's not telling us in any way how are you addressing these things, I mean, progress. What have you done somewhere? In fact, as he was saying in the Eastern Cape, 2-3 weeks back, there were reports about Free State in the municipalities in Free State, but here you are not getting us any clues to the strategies, the plans, the operation structures that we are putting in place in addressing these things. How are you ensuring that these structures are going to address these issues? Because structures have been there every now and again. We create structures, but these structures don't address what we're talking about, service delivery, efficient service delivery. I mean, I think my main worry is there. I'm not sure, Chairperson, whether there's something that I'm missing. But according to what I'm hearing here and the practical reality on the ground, I'm not really, really sure. I'm trying to think. Maybe there's something that they might show me so that I can realize that this document is correct for us to interact with it here, because it is addressing 1, 2, 3, 4. But to me, I think it's a matter of just saying we are complying with what is needed here, yeah, these structures. But I'm telling you, these structures you're talking about, they're useless. You're talking about useless structures. I'm talking about the town where I'm coming from in Grahamstown. I'm asking one question. These people, do they know what they're supposed to do that they are in these structures? Have they been properly trained? What are your plans to ensure that they are going to make sure the finances of these municipalities are being run in a proper way? I think that's where I can stand and listen a little bit, because maybe there's something that I'm not sure really if I'm in this meeting or I'm missing something. I'm trying to get close to what is going on between what is happening in our municipalities and this report that we are getting here. Thank you, sir.
I think, honorable members, maybe let's try to remind each other that we are from the presentation with AJ last time, and this meeting is a follow-up of what you said must happen, and amongst many things that we said must be done, there are those things that are at the roles of national department, national treasury, and the meeting today is supposed to be telling us as to how far from that time. And now, amongst other things, it's the formation of municipal public accounts, amongst others, the issue of how do we approach predetermined objectives and turn around plans within local municipalities, within the context also of the newly elected municipalities. I think basically technically this meeting is more operational than broad. You know, if we could take it from the others, we would be losing our route. And then I think all those things that have been raised by other members are also very important, precisely because we said the meeting will be attended by key, so that general political issues, because these people are politicians, they cannot be confined really to technical issues. Hence, you will hear all those things and then which needed really ministries and whatever. But in terms of the agenda, I think we are still on course as long as the issues identified as I remember them have been responded. We need also to raise other issues that we need so that when we move out of here, we have a way forward that says members are concerned on 1-2-3, and create a date to bring ministers to come here. Precisely because issues of Johannesburg billing system need a minister. It's not part of that. And we need ministers. Many other issues. Many municipalities, we also as a committee fear that if there is no robust program of action from national level, we might see, you know, many interventions. Precisely because of the newly elected councillors, some of them are new. And then if there is no connection between the past and now, we might experience certain things. But for now, I think, as I raised that, how far are you from that date? I think the agenda of today is still relevant to tell us in terms of the recommendation, in particular from the meeting with the AG, with yourself, whatever. I think let's confine ourselves and also note these other broad issues that were not raised in that meeting and have way forward.
Chair, I think I agree with you, but we don't have a problem. You know, they are telling us about a different progress. Where's the restoration in the municipality? Now, what is their role as a department? Because they were supposed to assist municipalities, you know, to address those specific problems. The issue we are raising around compliance, Chair, is they're giving us figures that are not addressing problems on the ground. And those are part of the issues. And I'm saying we agree with you. But from the date that the AG has addressed us, dealt with specific issues, to date, we're not seeing any improvement. And that's why we're saying we're agreeing with you. There's a lot of retrogression in municipalities. You see? And the department is not telling us anything. They'll tell us about ours in Skopa, in Gauteng. And let me tell you, I was in Skopje in Gauteng. A lot of issues came out. Today, there's no improvement. What is your role as a department?
Can I request for now the department to confine themselves to the agenda and objective of the last meeting, and thereafter be general? Make sure that we're able to note things that are teasing from the members. You should not forget what we said that time, that this is what we're going to be doing. We are going to focus on supply chain management, predetermined objectives, financial management, turnaround plans, IT control, human resource, use of consultants, which you also raised, governance structure you also raised, and also things. If you could finish that one, and be general, so that we note all the things that are pertinent. But for now, can you, so that we're able to follow our from our tail to the head correctly.
Now, Chairperson, thank you. Take note of all the comments which have been raised. But I think that in terms of some of the issues which is in particular in your last statement you addressed, it might probably have been better if we should have allowed the National Treasury to run after this, because you see there is a role which the National Treasury directly is doing regarding financial management thing. So if we should have had that presentation, because there are things which the National Treasury in terms of the MFMA and TFMA is directly doing, and now you've got COCTA coming at another level on cooperative governance, so which the things dovetail, but they are not necessarily the same. As regards to the broader issues which the members have raised, which we fully understand, which you yourself also alluded to, well, I think to respond to it, it might be that if the committee engages with the department for it to come holistically to talk across the board over all its initiatives which it is doing, that is how some of those things which can be addressed to some extent, because I understand what they are saying. Some of them talked to about all the things which we are doing regarding councillors, what is it we are doing in terms of human resource in general, so, but which is also part of the agenda of local government, which but is not nicely ring-fenced into what we came to do. But I think if you could get the department to give that overall picture across the board, because what we are doing, it needs to be juxtaposed as one of the components within that broader scheme of what is happening. Thanks.
Is there anyone coming? I think I'm correct to say some of the things, but the things that we are raising, these are purely our agenda. It's not a national treasury matter, because we take it from the resolution of the last meeting. So treasury will come, but at least these issues, especially the issues of how do you address audit fundings, MPACs, skills audit, internal whatever, these are purely our agenda. And therefore, let us not use the issues of training, salary, and whatever. We believe that these are issues that you need to say. Of course, the national treasurer will complement, but in terms of what we've agreed, we said these are complementary. This, and so on and so on. But I think I'll just say, if that is the answer, that through the matter. Technically, your report addresses those things. We are only suffocating that our political space to talk is sort of not allowing us, because there are no ministers. You know, that's the thing. And if we say we are strict to this agenda, I could say we are done with the meeting. We have to be strict with the agenda. On the place, who could be done. But there are issues, because you are working in the department, that you need to carry out there. I think which members must now raise, and maybe after that have a recommendation on how and when do we have a ministry to come and meet this committee. Should it be more than 2 months from today?
The point I wanted to raise is this committee will reject the report given to us today and ask for senior management and the ministry to come to this committee and give a full report. Because my worry, Chair, is in the summary you gave and the response we received, it's too technical in the first place, because it's superficial, because it just gives an overview of what we need to get in line with what we decided upon in the last meeting, and what the AG has given us. Now I'm saying both departments, Treasury and COPT, we have not received the report from Treasury. We're going to listen to that report. But already, in terms of COPTA, it tells us that we're not getting what we're supposed to get. You see? Now, it tells us that. And I'm not sure what my colleagues will say, but I'm saying, from my point of view, that we believe the ministry has not played its part, has not done what we requested of them. And therefore, this particular report will not be taken down by us. But my colleagues, majority will deal with that situation.
No, even before your colleagues, I think as a chairperson, I will have to give direction. The direction is that the report comply with what we did. Technically, of course. It addresses all those things in terms of even this thing. And all this agenda comes from here. But in fact, we needed this technical report in terms of how far. But then, because we are politicians, we needed a space. The space of politicking is suffocated because there are no ministers, so that we go out of this. I think technically we have done our work. You're confined to what we have done. But now the political space is suffocated, so that we would go beyond that and raise issues generally in the country. You know, the Free State issues,
the Northwest issues, some of elements in Gauteng. You have all sorts of challenges, but those are broad issues that we need a minister to take on. Maybe we need to call an immediate meeting on section, what is that, section 46 report. Section 46 report gives the space to discuss broad about not only technical, but also political, service delivery challenges, no municipalities, training, and all sorts of things. Honorable Minister.
I would agree with you and Honorable Matile. I think they've done their part. They've done their part, as you are saying, sir, but there's a point where they stop, because technically, I mean, they have addressed these things that we wanted to know.
Yeah.
I think I'm comfortable. But then we can't move, because they can't go beyond, I mean, their framework. They are technocrats. Well, that's where they're supposed to be. But the people that they're supposed to talk to us now, they're not here. That's why our frustrations will have to go to them. Honorable Matila, I understand, but it's not them who are frustrating you. It's these people that they're supposed to be here talking to us. I would also say we've got the report. We think, I mean, it's fair. It addresses what we want. But then I would agree with Sepperson that we need the politicians to come here so that we can talk about these things that they can answer, you know, because at least the frameworks and what is supposed to be done and how these things are supposed to be done, you have developed the plans, you've done everything, then they're supposed to come to us and talk to us and we put flesh, I mean, politically, how do we understand these things and how do we take these things forward so that they can address the needs of the people on the ground practically, so that we can answer these other questions that we are asking. I would support Chairperson the idea that at least they've done what we wanted.
No, thank you very much.
No, Chair, I think I'll take what the point you're raising, but to me, it's not convincing. For example, the Eastern Cape. You're saying municipalities with remedial action plans.
Mm-hmm.
It's 45-45. That it means, in terms of putting in committees, they comply. No? But in terms of dealing with issues on the ground, it's not true. Now, it means those committees that do not exist to me. You know? And that's the point I wanted to raise, because when you talk about all these things, because for the last 2 years we've been hearing these things. We've got all these things for the last 2 years. No? We're not told what is it that they do to deal with the problems. That's why in the Eastern Cape you have that situation, in the Free State you have that situation, in the Northwest you have that situation, in Mpumalanga you've got that situation, in Gauteng, now recently there are these situations, whatever. No. Now, these committees, whatever that you're talking about, and that's the point we're going back to, are you just complying with what the law says, or are you dealing with problems on the ground? Now, and that's the question we're asking. Is this just compliance of numbers? And I gave a very clear example of Cape Town. Cape Town is just complying. They are not dealing with service delivery.
You have made a point. You don't have a picture. If I think these people, might have captured, it comes many times. I think to give a ruling is that your report is accepted technically, and we need to know these political challenges that comes from time to time. And I would suggest that because today we're all on technical issues, we would need not provinces, because most of the time we receive section 46 from the provinces.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're able to raise what he's raising. But we've never raised this matter with the National Department, particularly where there's DG and the ministers. I think it should be noted there that the committee would want to see a meeting agent. You know, the secretary must do that. Agent, where a full component of the leadership, that's what he raised,
leadership of the department is present. But not on this one. This one is fine. This one complies with what we're supposed to be doing. But on major things that frustrate the committee in terms of going forward, especially the development of local government process, I think that we need to do. We need to take it that way so that before we can even go to recess, we meet the department and raise these issues. Some of the issues, remember, this is an NCOP, and members are permanent delegates from provinces. They have the right to raise issues that they meet from their constituent office. And to express those things is when there is the full component of the leadership. I think that the context that we need to understand some of these issues. I think we are saying the secretary will begin to communicate, and as you communicate to that type of a thing, but also saying, indeed we are not happy because the program is long. It has been there for a long time. The department should have prioritized, especially the leadership, so that they're able to hear themselves to say what is it that is needed from this committee. They couldn't have missed. While we accept the apology of the DG, but things must be done differently from now on. I think we are done with this one. And we call the treasurer. Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and members of the committee. Again, from the National Treasury, it's a pleasure to be here. I think we don't often present to your committee as well, and I think the joint presentations possibly will try and help us more. We hope we can engage more effectively with that. Notwithstanding the leadership presence here today, Honourable Members, apologies from the Director General and the Accountant General, who also works in this area quite closely. They are at another SCOPA meeting now, Osla, being called for from 9 o'clock this morning. We will present broadly on the issues, but also I think we can comment on some of the specifics as well. It's going to be important for us to comment the specifics. I think the brief that we got was just to give a broad presentation on the response towards the audit report. But before I start, I'd like to also mention that we had commented on this report with the Auditor General when it was being prepared as well. And we had met with the Office of the Audit at the national level to try and ensure that the kind of other work that we are doing is reflected in here. And you will find that on page 52 of this report, which you probably already researched and found. So I won't repeat some of that, but I will give you much more details as possible as I can with this meeting that I have at the disposal. And we share this with our colleagues at National COCTA as well along the way. But I also talked some of the structural issues. So allow me to deal with it. We'll deal with some of the strategic plan issues from what I understood to be the brief, the operational structure and other key stakeholders that we're engaging with, the support programs that we are putting in place. That's possibly something that will come closer to what you are saying, the rubber hits the road. What are we doing differently to make this work better? And the audit action plans, I think the colleagues have spoken about it, but perhaps we can contextualize that as well when we come to it. Now, you know about the legislative mandate. I'm not going there, but I'd like to remind the committee that there are certain issues that the Treasury does in our strategic plan around intergovernmental policy and planning, around the infrastructure support areas for provincial-type infrastructure, and now more into local government infrastructure as we move forward in this medium term. the budget analysis work that you will be seeing when you see the publications on the Treasury website. I'm honestly hoping that the committee researchers are producing and sharing that report with you. It's a Section 71 report on spending. It's done every quarter. It's published on the website and also in the press. So we hope that that comes through. The conditional grant monitoring as well, that comes through quite often. It comes through the select committees of finance, and the other colleagues, members of parliament, also engage with those reports. The financial systems and accounting team, largely on the MFMA and PFMA areas of work, the accounting support and reporting aspects that try and strengthen some of the standards and the guides that's provided. And we have then the other related aspects on supply chain, the internal audit and risk management. The technical support area on financial management is more around a financial management grant that is in the Division of Revenue Act, and the framework talks to all the details. The technical assistance, which is the transition from the old CNRMANJA into the new, we will engage with you on that as well and share more information as you may need it from time to time. It is unfortunate that we didn't have a copy of the resolutions of your last meeting. If we had it, we would have at least perhaps responded differently, as you may require, within our the information base we have. But the operational structure, I think one needs to also understand that we cannot do things on the ground directly, given what we have in the way that our corporate governance framework is structured. We will have to work with colleagues in provincial government, have to work with colleagues in municipality. And there are challenges in municipality, we must admit that. There are major challenges, but they're not insurmountable, because that's the positiveness that we would like to come to see by learning from other municipalities. So what we've tried to do in improving the guidance and support on financial management issues on the MFMA, what I can talk to much more specifically, is to improve the coordination so we get more value for money. We have identified over the last few years a number of duplicate programs that are going into the municipality, rendering support the 1 year, another consultant comes the following year, renders the same support, and another one comes the next year and rains a similar support. And now we put conditions in place, and I'll relate to the conditions so we can engage on this better to get your insight into what we can do to strengthen that work. The coordination structure that we've created, where the NTD, COC, provincial treasuries, local government departments, SAGA, and the Office of the Auditor General is represented. At the national level, on a quarterly basis, we undertake areas of work that is specific to the MFMA calendar. Now, I'm not sure if the members have got the MFMA calendar, but if you don't, I can arrange to get you the MFMA calendar. What it does is, in the way that we work, is try to narrow down our focus on financial management per quarter. So it gives us a better sense of what we can do, because the mandate is so wide and the areas of interventions are so huge that if we do all type of support and interventions for the whole spectrum of things, it will be far too much to handle within the capacity and resources available. That's the important. So what we try to do, and as an example, is to say, for the last quarter, what is it that was required to be done? And if you look at the quarter from March to June, what is it? It's the budget that has to be drafted and tabled in terms of financial management. So that's where the focus has been. For this next quarter, it's around getting the AFS ready, drafted, prepared, and get the working files, the working papers ready. That is what the focus is going to be on. For the following quarter, the in-year reporting, how far we've gone on spending versus against the programs, and so forth. So I think that gives us a much more nuanced way and a focused, direct way of attending issues in municipalities. So this is an example. So the calendar helps us to then focus the technical assistance that's required. We then look at the Provincial Accountant General's forums. Those forums are structured in such a way that They give guidance on the accounting-related matters. So if there's a gap emerging, we try to give support through that and give clarification. There is the regional MFMA CFO forums. Now, these forums are working in some areas, and they're not working in some provinces. I must admit that. The agendas are not being aligned to what we talked about just now per quarters, and we're pushing the CFOs to attend and the MMs to attend those forums so they can also provide the leadership that is required in those forums to get the job done. That's the kind of structural issues that is important to cascade it clearly. The provincial OPCA committees that have been structured, and I'm sure colleagues from DECOC would have given that, inputs into that, but again, those the two departments are represented on that steering committee. They try and assist and get the information going. But often cooperation in municipalities is what is required. And the cooperation from municipal officials is often not there. Now, you will know that when we say there is a calendar of events to happen, you will notice that conferences and workshops and training are taking place at the wrong time. For example, even now, when the financial statements have need to be prepared for this last financial year, some municipal officials are not in office. Why? They're attending courses, they're attending training. Now, that's something that we as national departments and provincial departments may not be able to influence in the way that we'd like. It's a municipality themselves must say, no more leave for this period until your audits are clean, you know, until that kind of work is done and proved to be done. These are some of the issues that one must understand. Structurally, we as a national department, it's very, very difficult on us to engage with. But I'm putting the facts on the table so the committee, you know about these issues, you can help collectively to make this thing work better for all of us. We have regular meetings with the Office of the Auditor General. That has happened at the national level, where there's a Wednesday technical meeting for all queries to be addressed, and there's other meetings. For example, last year, we had a session with the Auditor General to get a sense of the big challenges around implementing the new GRAP standards. So we had a workshop with municipal officials in the same room to try and get a sense of where things are, what needs to be done, how do we interpret things better to actually get a better outcome. And I know at this moment we have a list that the National Auditor General, I think, is doing the rounds in KZN. So we have a list of door-to-door visits or something in that context it's called that's taking place in municipalities now. So these are some of the areas that I think we're constantly engaging in. Now, the support that I said we must speak about, because it's very important, the type of support we can provide. Now, in the financial management reform area, that's what I can speak to. In the governance area around implementing the Systems Act and the Structures Act, I would really like us, Chairperson, to take a resolution that is a spotlight of intervention and implementation that is required. Now, so it's just not the audit report that you see in the end, but the beginning of the establishment of the right structures and then for them to work effectively. That is really, really what will drive the holistic reform. That's in our view. And these are areas that need to be reviewed as well, collectively. Unfortunately, that's not the case from what we've seen. So when we give support, we're giving support on implementing the new budget regulations. What is that doing? That is trying to bring a much more credible budget in municipalities as a starting block. So we're working towards that with all municipalities through the provinces as well. We're looking at improving the reporting, and you'll see the in-year publications. All municipalities are now reporting on that publication. That's the one I spoke to earlier, the Section 71. The AFS and the standards in the AFS and the financial statements and the various other standards supporting that with the Accounting Standards Board is also done through us. There's an annual report project that I must talk to about, which is so important for this committee. I think it's going to help bring to the fore the links that is required. We have, over the last 2 years, been piloting a project together with the National Department in Itiquini Municipality. If you look at the Itiquini annual report for this last year that was tabled, you will see it in the new format. It directly aligns financial and non-financial information, which is something I think many other municipalities can start implementing. And what we are saying for this committee's purposes is if we can get both the AFS and the annual report tabled at the same time, which is 2 months at the end of the financial year, that is what will make this committee and all the oversight committees work much better. We've seen that it can be done. Itiquini has proved it. So there should be no reason why others can't do it. And that's the drive in getting link between financial and non-financial that the committee members were raising. We can't see that the tangible change in people's reports. What are they saying? What are they doing? And a link towards what's going on the ground. The innovation on that report is around ward-based information. Now, ward-based information is something that is often not there. This time around, hopefully, we will get that moving on to empower the local ward councillors as well. So supply chain areas of work, we are looking at another guiding circular to support supply chain. And here it's more directly linked to the bid committees, the three type of committees, sharing of committee structures. Actually, the direct link between that is the plan that the supply chain committees must receive when the budget is tabled with the IDP, so that procurement can start on day one, not on day 180 in the financial year. We are saying that the infrastructure programs can be budgeted for and adopted by councils over 3 years. So there's no reason why the supply chain processes must stall each year. So we're saying that's the kind of innovation and reform that's coming, together with the disclosure of interest of councillors and others in supply chain. Internal audits, the colleague spoke about it. Risk management is an area of support that's already also being done. But overall, I think the committee raised the question around compliance, and we believe the way that it's captured in the Auditor General's report does assist us to try and move closer towards that. Then the other challenges, the other areas of support, the way that it's been structured is the largest 17 municipalities have been non-delegated in terms of the MFMA from the minister through to the MECs, and the rest of the municipalities then report and support via the provinces. The different areas of support are coming through. The technical assistance program, which is the Municipal Finance Improvement Program, from the 1st of April that has been taken over. The colleague from DCOC has mentioned it. The Sayan Zamanja program has come to an end in the way that it was structured before the DBSA. From the 1st of April, there is a separation of activities which is more aligned to the legislative competence of the different departments. Through that process, the engineering and planning technical advisors have been placed through a DCOC program of support and direct management, which was one of the major weaknesses of the Sayan Zamanja program that was identified during the evaluation thereof. And all the financial related areas of support is now aligned through the National Treasury and administered by the Treasury. Now, there's a structure how that works. I can talk to that later, but there is a way how that structure is now working. There's 67 municipalities that's receiving support. And I can also share with you the list of the 67. I can let the secretariat have that so you know. And Honorable Members, Makana is one of it that is due for support. Makana. So I think we are coming to help, at least the way that's possible. But maybe just to digress a moment, Chair, with your permission, if we don't have a CFO appointed and the CFOs are suspended, we can put as much support as we can in Makana. It will not be sustained. And that is something that this committee must take note. Appointment of permanent municipal managers, not in any more acting capacity, in permanent capacity, and the CFOs in permanent capacity is what we need in every municipality in the country. That's something that really, if we can push, we'll get the leadership in municipalities right, as well as the new councils in place to make it work for us. It's something that we really plead. We're actually pleading with you. These acting posts are no good at all. They're not helping us. And that's partly some of the absorption capacity problems we're having. A consultant comes in, does some work, there's no one to transfer the skill to. And in this program of MFIP, We're getting monthly reports from these advisors to say, give us the name of the person that you worked alongside. Because we want to go and check that person has now got the skill to do the job. There's something that we must do as a committee to make this work that we're doing sustainable. And then I think the DCOG sharing of information on a regular basis, because we form part of a team, we meet very regularly with DCOG, the officials from DCOG. So it mustn't be seen as a Treasury and DCOG, but collectively as government dealing with stuff. I think that's how we would like to see the support coming through. What we've created a help desk facility to get things moving along now better, to address all inquiries. We have a turnaround time in that help desk, and people are getting responses. We've posted frequently asked question and answers on the Treasury website. You can also get to it if you liked it. We've issued the guides that we have. I spoke about the AFS template guides, the accounting policies. We've done a three-day, in fact, workshop around asset management, which was the biggest issue that was also raised in the audit outcome document. Here you must also understand, members, that we have transitioned the GRAP standards for municipalities. I think if we understand the background, the original new standards for reporting was introduced in 1999. From then, municipalities were advised to gear up to be able to report effectively and prepare the financials effectively. You won't see that in the Auditor General's report, unfortunately. That's a background that is very important to understand. Then the GRAP standards were introduced and implemented, which is the new standard for the high-capacity municipalities. There were 50 of them. The last year, and now we're moving into this phase where the medium and small municipalities need to implement this. One of the biggest areas that we identified was more information around asset management and how we manage the assets. And that is the subject of the guide that was issued and the workshops that were done and the training that was done for all municipalities. Now that is where we brought engineers together, municipal engineers, finance people from municipalities, planners from municipalities in one room in Kempton Park, where we had this session, where the deputy minister raised the issue that we need to start understanding what our assets are for us to be able to deliver better services. The audit file documents were prepared. I've got a copy of the circular if members want to see that. You can download it again from the website. That was workshopped with all municipalities in preparation for that. That was done in 2009. Yet we're still having the similar challenges when we keep saying that the financials are not ready. It's talking about an audit plan, an audit file with working papers, the documents that's required, the financial statements, the records, and it tries to give that sense of guidance. We're dealing with, furthermore, the banking and cash management to try and improve that area of work. Budgeting, the oversight impact committees, I think our colleagues have spoken about, and some more of the other training initiatives that are in place now. And I think the committee members should know, in the finance area, and that's unfortunately the only area where we see we have a set of minimum competencies and regulations. In other sectors, we don't see that, and we want to know why. If we want service delivery to improve, surely we should have minimum competencies of people that may need to possess those minimum competencies to be appointed in some of those positions. Then we will definitely see the improvements in service delivery. At that time, we don't see that. We haven't seen that yet. So what we've done is we've issued a minimum competencies. That has been issued now with a range of 5.5 years for implementation. January 2013 is the final date. Out of that, all municipal officials working in the financial management area must possess this minimum competency. There's 46 now, accredited service providers, including Panama at the National and the SICA that's doing work to support municipal officials at various levels in the municipal organization. There's the support teams within National Treasury that are starting to be geared up to help the larger ones, and with that we replicate support in the smaller. There's the MFIP technical advisors that I spoke about. There's the other innovation that's come through, which I'm not sure this committee is aware of it. There's a minimum of 5 graduate interns in financial management that are required to be appointed in municipalities. We have now 1,300, in fact, just over that, in municipalities. And we have a structured program to rotate those officials to work in various finance management fields. So that program is up and running, it's rolling, it's being funded by the financial management grant, it's a conditional grant, and the processes are unfolding. We're also working directly to implement some of the systems of delegations on financial management. We've done that work on it. We started research and completed that. You will be presently surprised to hear that those that we've reviewed, systems of delegations in municipalities, I mean, the quality of that leaves much to be desired. There's a very much de-link between what is happening in certain senior positions for duties and activities and the delegations that are offered to those officials and are approved and signed off. So I think that area of work is a big area, and we need that as well in the Systems and Structures Act. We're only doing it for the MFMA, and that's part of the Presidential Outcome 12 deliverables. The development of the capacity model is already in place. We have done in 2009 a Budget and Treasury Office survey structured to understand the number of officials in the Budget and Treasury Office so that when we try and give support collectively, we make sure that that support is sustainable. The financial management grant for this financial year, we've received support plans. Now, these are support plans based on the conditions of the grant that municipalities prepared themselves. And they said to us, this is the areas of weakness linked to the action plans that they want to build on. They've done some of this. The follow-up has still got to be made to 15 municipalities who have still to confirm these support plans. They have not provided them yet. And if the committee requires, we can give you the names of those as well. Support plans being monitored consistent with the Division of Revenue Act as required by the legal framework, and then we try and monitor and support as confirmed. Now, what does the support plan provide for? Generally, of the number of support plans that we've received, the 263, we've seen that they want to support the funding, use of the funding for the appointment of municipal officials in the Budget and Treasury Office where the vacancy exists. So it means they're not correctly budgeting for their own staff. They want to use a conditional grant for that. The appointment of training of interns, we said that is good if you continue to train people. The appointment of internal audit officials and audit committees, in many instances they're shared audit committees and they're really not operating to the optimal levels they should. Training on the minimum competencies and supply chain has been a big area. Development of financial management policies, municipalities are saying they want to review this and develop that properly. Upgrading acquisition of financial management system to automate the reporting and management of revenue and expenditures. This is directly talking to the issues that were raised by the Auditor General in the report. Updating asset registers, compiling the AFS and GRAP conversions, audit action plans, and lastly, wherever the need is, likewise the case in Mafeking and Maribeng, where the two municipalities required a financial recovery plan to be prepared and they've used some of the resources to do that. We did give them assistance through our financial recovery service. The same with Sundays River in the Eastern Cape. There is a financial recovery plan there which the administrator is trying to implement with limited success. So those are some of the other support measures. This is the duplication of the slide that was there, and I won't talk to this, but safe to say that this is just a record of, I think, to say correctly, whether people have prepared action plans. That is the first step in getting to the right, I think, the initiative that we want. If you have a plan, then we want to see how is that plan being executed. If we're seeing it's not being executed, then is where we can then say, let's put conditions to you as a municipality and let's help you with the support. So there's a step-by-step process we can get there. But I also like to say That's a very ambitious target that we have. With the capacity and resources we have available at national government, the two departments, at provincial government, and at municipalities, I think we have a way to go still. That's an honest assessment of where we see things at this moment. But the program of support has been established, so committee members need to know to at least give us that opportunity at least to come back and report on what's been achieved, where the progress, so that we can show that things are making, we are making a difference. These are the different departments that are working on it together with AG. Weaknesses identified in the audit outcomes also inform support action plans. When there's an action plan being reviewed, we are asking as a collective, how does that address all the issues on the table? And then we're also trying to see if major challenges remain. I've spoken about the capacity, the readiness. The next big challenge, I think, for us all is that when the Auditor General starts to move towards audit of performance information and expresses an opinion on that, I think the committee has to brace itself to where we will be going then for the audit outcomes. It will not be the same as you see now. There will, in my like understanding, be a serious deterioration further before it picks up. So I think we must gear ourselves to work collectively to make that happen, but the transition period in getting there is a very important point we must also understand. So we're working again. There's a committee at the national level with the presidency and the Auditor General with us there as well, trying to, you know, at least progress towards something that we can all then report on effectively. The conditions of the support I spoke about earlier, in conclusion, we want to see that municipalities are able to absorb the support, or else the resources are going to be wasted again. And that is important. And that is around appointment of the right people in the right positions. These 1,300 financial management graduates, we are pleading that municipalities, you see, we don't appoint in from the national level. Municipalities need to appoint their own staff in terms of how the structure and systems act are drafted. We can't appoint. But what we are saying is, as a condition on the financial management grant, we give you the incentive. You appoint the graduate interns to do the work and to help keep the training. But when the 2 years are up, please find the space to appoint them permanently so we can continue in a progressive and a sustained way. And of course, just replicate some of the similar strategies in other areas of service delivery. This committee deals with broad areas of service delivery. If it can look at that more broadly, the water sector, the sanitation sector, the issues around electricity, if we can get those minimum competencies for those sectors rolling, which is not our mandate as a Treasury, but we can guide, help, or raise the profile at this committee level, it will be so much helpful for the rest of service delivery to really take hold. Chairperson, I want to thank you there, and again, apologies if we've gone on too long. Any further details, if the committee requires, please, if we can do that, together with any of the resolutions you want support, we can work collectively with our colleagues from DCOC and make that available to this committee and all other committees. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for that elaborate presentation. I think, in my view, there are aspects that really would want to have as a committee, but let me not preempt to what the colleagues would want to say. Maybe we'll summarize later on. Honorable.
No, Chair, I think let us welcome the presentation and just hope the points that have been raised around this intense will be taken by COCTA so that they don't repeat the mistakes they did. You know, take a municipal manager that is charged with corruption, appoint him as an an interim leader in another municipality. You know, his charge is in the High Court for corruption. But and that's what the COCTA is doing.
And we hope that that won't happen. They will take your advice very seriously. That is the first area, Chair, but I hope that all the reports you referred to will reach us as soon as possible so that we can engage with them and then come back to you and deal with some of the areas we think. But also, Chair, I think it also becomes important now that, you see, Treasury might be reporting to the Finance Committee and the other Committee on Finances. And we don't get this information. And unfortunately, when we deal with issues on the ground, we can't compare, you know, because we don't have all the information at hand, you see, about what is happening. We get different information on the ground. Unfortunately, Treasury has got something different. And also, there are those conflicts also. They are on conditional grants, you know, because when we go to municipalities, we find a different situations, and we're not engaging with Treasury around dealing with those specific issues. But we hope that COCTA will in future make sure that in the way you are talking to, work closely with yourself to deal with some of these problems that we see on the ground, because in most times, that's not the report we are receiving from COCTA. And that is the situation that we are faced with, because we are creating different situations on the ground and what we receive from COCTA. But I'm just saying, for now, Chair, I'm pleased with the report. I want to welcome the report, but also say, let's get the details of that, so that what we face on the ground, we can deal with. Because the reality of the matter is that municipalities that we're told are moving very well, are retrogressing. That is the reality of the matter. Also, the real point that you're raising, and that's what the AG has raised with us, is around, you know, you're talking about financial compliance, but you're not talking about the other issues. You see? Now, when that comes, municipalities will be in trouble. I mean, I'll tell you about Tshwane now. We're told Tshwane has done very well, but there's 1. Something billion that they can't account for presently, as we're speaking to you. You know, they don't know because they don't have receipts, they don't have whatever. That is the situation. You know, and I have now information that the situation in Tshwane is now worse. It's now worse. And then at the same time, COCTA will come and report to us and say, no, things are very well because these committees have been put in place, that is happening, they're giving support, but they can't give us exactly what is that support that they're giving to those municipalities. You quoted Madibe. We've gone there 4 times. The chair will tell you what the situation is. In Matibeng, because that interim manager that was appointed there, when we went there, he was in court in the Free State because he was a former municipal manager. But COCTA appointed him. When you go to the Free State now, most municipalities which were under Section 139, most of those officials are provincial HODs, whatever. Now, how do you deal with that? If a person can't manage a small town, how does he manage the whole province? Those are the questions we ask ourselves. The Eastern Cape, my colleague spoke about the Eastern Cape, we went there several times. Mpumalanga, those are the issues we're trying to grapple with. You can give us those reports. They are fine, they're good. This is what you're doing. What's that municipality in Breth? We went there in Breth, Madibeng. That municipality is in trouble. You see, but your department is pumping money into that area. Yes, there are conditional grants. There's a sewage problem. the dam, the fishes are dying there, and all those things. We get all these things. And then we ask ourselves, where is this money going to? I'm just raising this, but I accept the report. I think it's good. No? Practically, what does this resources do on the ground? Who is being appointed to deal with specific issues? And those are the questions, the issues we are raising. You know, because COCTA, you will put in money, COCTA will appoint wrong people. You see, because they will want to appoint their own friends. That is the situation. And that's what we saw within the Northwest and the Free State. You see, that's what we saw. But thank you, Chair. I don't have much questions until we receive all these documents so that we can then engage with those documents. Thank you, Chair.
I mean, welcome the report. I think it's fine. To me, with these plans, if you look at these plans, these are very good plans. But I think the fundamental is some of the things that are being raised here. How are these things being practically implemented? Who's being employed to do the work? Are these people at least prepared enough? As you are saying about the interns and graduates in the municipalities. Those people, you get those people and they're properly trained. I mean, for these terms that you're talking about in the plans, obviously the service delivery that we're crying about, these things can happen. But the issue with National Treasury and also COCTA, I think they're supposed to do most of the time, is to monitor, properly monitor every plan that they've put in place, to monitor it properly. We're doing the same thing because we are also assisting in monitoring. But at some point, I think what we need to do here, or says my understanding, is that you come to us, you give us the report, you give us the plan. We meet at that time and then maybe we'll meet again somewhere after 6-7 months. This the cycle. Somewhere in between, we are losing some of other things. You say to us, you are going to do things in this way. You monitor. We are busy doing something else. We are not properly close to each other so that when things are getting out of hand, we are able to say to you, look, there is something wrong. You change your plan or properly follow this. I'm trying to say, the issues that are being raised here by Honorable Matile. There are many wrong things that are going on. For an example, there's the law already. I'm not sure. I think it has been signed in terms of depoliticizing the municipalities. How far are you with that? What is going on, COCTA? And then it's very funny. And when people are saying ANC is failing, because it's ANC that is leading the country, when they're saying ANC is failing, they're saying because there are people of the ANC which are politicians, but they are also in the administration. And COCTA is there. What is the department doing? So these are the things that we're supposed to address. Because immediately if we don't address these things, everybody is pointing fingers. If there's a program at the radio, if you listen to that program at night, 12 down, you just open and listen to those people, what they are saying. At times you get worried because they are not howling. They are telling us things that I know, that no, there in that municipality, that thing is happening in front of me. Someone is asking me on the road, what are you doing about this? No, I'm not sure we are addressing it because the laws are saying. So I'm trying to say, if the department can be firm on this thing, because if we put laws, we say, yeah, the laws, and then we're saying, yeah, the plans, and we don't implement these plans, at times, then we are being accused, as Honorable Matile was saying. people are employing friends or families, whatever. It's not because some of these things can be proved. Some of them are happening, some of them we are not sure, but the issue is that we are not firm. We are not acting when we're supposed to act. And exactly as you were saying, if there are people which are being charged, and on one hand the department COFDA is employing them, I think, and when it comes to local government, we're supposed to be very, I mean, the department is supposed to be very, very firm in assisting. I think the plans to me are very nice, they are very clear, but the issue is how do we monitor their implementation? Thank you, Sir President. I would accept that this report for me. I mean, it's fine. We wait till we got more information so that we can understand. But the frameworks that I'm seeing here, I've read them through. I think they are very nice, they are very clear, but the issue is whether they are going to be done properly. Thank you.
Yes, they are very beautiful. They are well dressed. You suspect that they are cosmetic. Yeah, but I just want before you respond, so that after you respond with those. I think the most important issue that was raised, which will assist us as a committee, I don't know as to when can we get that municipal finance management calendar. In my view, it's very much important because it tells us the action plan, when this will be done or won't be done, whatever. If we could, as a members of committee, really organize it so that all members of the committee get that. It won't only assist at this level, but I believe it will also assist at provincial level when we meet the MECs for COCTA, as well as when we do our oversight at municipal level. We would really want that. It will assist a lot.
Okay. I'm just saying in 3 weeks' time we're going on provincial week. If we can get that before then, that will assist you.
Yeah, I think let's load the agencies before the provincial week to assist. The other issue, I think it's very much important. The issue of the audit file. I'm not sure if whether you have it now or what. Will you have enough copies? We want to have it. I think it's a question of linking with our secretary so that he does get that. It's an important thing to me. Yeah, this issue of minimum standard. The department is doing well, especially the treasurer. But generally, at municipal level, it's bad. Because even in finance section, we take social workers to deal with the budget income, budget whatever, but this person is a social worker. This person has got minimum standard also, but this place, it's not that this person is not educated, but is educated in the wrong place. Or placed in the wrong place. I think these are issues that maybe the committee would want to, particularly at municipal level, because even if you can say the department does not deploy at municipal level. That's why we need to, as we make, particularly the MECs, who might have an influence elsewhere, to take this matter very seriously. What members are saying, we see retrogression. Yeah, that concept. You know, it says let's wake up and prevent it. Because we shouldn't just say this thing is there and then say, no, we look at it as if we're looking at a bioscope. We need to prevent it. And in terms of the tools that we have received here, we need a political will, Honorable. Here's a question of political will.
And then if we're not exercising that, we can also lose what we've gained. I think that's important. Minimum standard, not only in finance. Even those that are dealing with sanitation, those that, because if you have a minimum standard, you won't have toilets that collapse in a free state. And if you have a minimum standard, you won't accept to build toilets without walls, because you'll say, according to my knowledge, there must be wall in the toilet. Is it something? So we need all minimum standards in all those portfolios that deal with basic service delivery. How do we do that? I don't know. They will be saying it needs national endowment, but it doesn't need national endowment because legislation is there. We can also create pilots at municipal level for this. So this is what you want in this post. So that even if you appoint your friend, you appoint a friend that is with minimum standard. I think that would assist. I think we need, as members, really note that area. The other issue is, what will happen if municipality does not absorb the support? Because to me, if they don't absorb the support, we need to be thinking of the consequences. Because why should we pump money, put support by municipality and like that? I think COCTA must note this very important aspect. Because we can't be throwing money everywhere. You raise one other issue that is, I think it must capture the national program or media or whatever. This issue of national giving support to municipalities, but yet you would find that those that support to be received by municipalities are not attended. They go to their own different courses and all sorts. If they go to the courses, they just attend 30 minutes, they go to 1,000. I think there must be some form of restriction that is happening. Because it does happen. You know, Department of COCTA, when it was still Department of Local Government, before this dispensation, it created a nice training, executive leadership courses. People will go to university, but they go the whole year, but they don't attend. They don't attend. Nice courses, dealing with municipal finance management, governance, taxes, and all sorts of things. But the municipality pay the whole year for people who go to tourism. You know? They talk. You know? I think something must be done. My COCTA, think about that. Your children are beginning to be wild, and we must make them tamed. They must be domestic. They mustn't be wild. It's a waste of resources. I think that's very much important. How do we monitor that? I mean, you better attend, and maybe because of the IQ, you may not make it. But at least you can fix some of this. Things if you attend throughout. Because again, they say psychologically we are different in IQ. There are those with the highest IQ, the average, the low, whatever. But if you attend, you will pick up something. But totally just to go to shopping is something that we must not accept, and then we need to deal with that type of thing. I think generally these are the comments, but all those things that we really needed. The calendar, the files, and whatever. Because in my view, this report assists members a lot. But also, I think the beginning of what is happening, where you know, we have cooked this pressure, must be sustained. So that we are able to have, the size of the two coins, of a coin wherein we know, okay. Financially, these are implications. In terms of governance, culture, these are implications. So we're able to take all these things. I think it's important that we need to keep. I think we're beginning to live up to the resolution of the workshop. So
because this is one of the things that we need to, it should happen. I think these are very much, maybe you can just sum up of to what members have said and then we set the way forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I think you've really summarized a lot of the issues quite well already.
I'm not a departmental member.
The one big issue, though, that I think committees and legislatures need to take on board is try and amend their own legislative programs in the provinces to have joint committee sittings of finance and COCTAS, or the local government component as legislature members. But the joint committee structure is going to be key to unlocking a lot of these issues and trying to bring perhaps power with the governance arrangements, the finance management, the service delivery issues in one meeting, where you will find you gain much more successes and direction that you can get out of it. Perhaps if we can take that. The second thing that I think we perhaps have not touched on, Chairperson, with your permission, the decisions on taking around Section 139 interventions by the legislatures. We would like to see a recovery plan before the legislature takes the decision, not after. Because the conditions set upon the intervention is sometimes inappropriate. It's not dealing directly with addressing the challenges to make a successful 139. And if we can maybe support in that way closer and help, I think we'll get better outcomes on the 139s. And you can do your research as a committee for every 139 that has been taken over the last 5 years. And for yourself, please take stock and find out what has been the result of those 139s. And then we'll soon realize from the decision point onwards, because that's what's been a collective legislature decision quite often, besides the executive decision that has been taken. And one can perhaps strengthen what we do and not make the 139 interventions as just another intervention, but something very serious when we do take it. I think that's something that we have found. Chairperson, we have a Municipal Finance Recovery Service established in the National Treasury as part of Chapter 13 of the MFMA, which requires that. And through that process, we've seen some of the challenges, and I thought it'd be good to raise it so when colleagues go back and members go back to their provinces, they can also, you know, forge this kind of structure. The other work for the joint committee would be so good is if we can get those Section 46 reports or the combined annual reports of municipalities and including the finances to be tabled at the same time when you come to the legislature meetings, because then you don't divorce finance from service delivery, but you combine it. And that will help, I think, just a bit more nuancing on how we engage municipalities and what directions the committee can provide as well. It helps to strengthen the kind of structure we have. But, Chairperson, thank you. I think we've got most of the issues around monitoring, which is going to be important. Maybe members to note that, yes, we are keeping and we are responding to some of the big city challenges, including City of Joburg and Swani, that we've been trying to meet and trying to get collectively some response on their activities. We met 3 or 4 times already with those colleagues and trying to get a sense of, you know, give us the steps of what other support we can provide for the steps. But with the new political dispensation and the new councillors in place, hopefully we will be able to get some actions now taken sooner. But that's basically around Swani and City of Joburg and the revenue issues in Joburg. So I think, Jefferson, all the other documents that we said we will provide to you, we will make it available. Most of it currently is already on the Treasury website. So if the committee can give us a list of that, together with the resolutions that was taken from this meeting, we can probably assist whatever we can do. Thank you.
Chair, I think I agree. We will welcome everything else. But we think it is important that Treasury and COPTA, you know, there's this new term that is spoken about in Gauteng around the deputy municipal manager or two deputy municipal managers. There's those, I'm saying Tuani is in trouble. They're creating a new position. You know, now, I'm not sure as to how we are going to deal with that situation. But that's what's spoken about in Gauteng. Possibly Ekurhuleni and Johannesburg will have the same situations very soon. I don't know if those overburdened councils in the Free State, in the Northwest, get that information and they go the same route, how are we going to deal with that situation? You know, I'm just raising this point because this is a new trend that is coming up. And how do we address it? I'm not saying you must answer this, but take note of that. Go and deal with that situation on the ground. Assist us to deal with it, because if they use more than 1.5 billion that they can't account for properly now, and they create new structures, what does it mean? Treasury, are you just going to pump in money there? Thank you, Chair. But I think I welcome, and the sooner we get all these documents, the happier we will be. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Chairperson, and thanks, honorable members. Without repeating what my colleague has said, we want to appreciate what the members of the committee have said, and we note everything that they have said. And all every issue that has been raised here will be taken to our principals, and as well be interacting with the secretary in terms of us coming back with the broad issues raised here in answering those issues. Well, I want to also mention that we need to agree perhaps on a date before it is set by the committee, because we've got a unique situation in the department where our substantive minister is still sick, and we've got a minister who has got dual responsibility. Sometimes already he would like to be here, but sometimes he's committed to that one. But as an official of the department and being at the senior level, we're committed to address issues raised here. And as I said, we'll take all those issues to our principal, and we commit that we'll be here as soon as the committee wants us to be here with all the broad issues raised. And I thank you.
I think we are coming to a close, but I wanted to say we have a central committee where you must raise in terms of logistic requirements, particularly issues of date and all sorts of things. Another issue that came to my mind when the treasury was on, which then goes to what Honorable Martin was saying. The nature of the support given by provinces to municipalities is not to be desired. That must be seriously be noted. I'm not sure as to whether we have an MEC for local government in Northwest. I'm not sure. But we have somebody who's getting the salary, which, because if you have an MEC, why do we have a particular function in the premier's office? I think COPTA must look into that. Would also think as a committee go to see how these things run, because it's part of our duty. It shows that municipalities will suffer the way they suffer because our provinces are not capacitated enough. They do not have capacity, both in terms of skill and in terms of political understanding of their roles and responsibility. I think that was it need to be raised to the minister to say we are worried whether we have an MEC in Northwest. And COPTA must just take that message to the minister. The issue of Section 129, it is another important issue. I think it is this committee that initiated that we need a uniform legislation
in terms of application of Section 139, because the type of section intervention we get, you can't even define, you can't even make a research and come with a thesis or even antithesis. You can we just go there because we want to comply, as Monabra say, with constitution and hoping that things will be well. But there are different things. So we requested that we need a legislation. I think the minister, he took this matter up and they've initiated something which is, it might be packed elsewhere. I think if the official Cocta could just check with that, so that when we come back again, we must get a progress report in terms of that uniform legislation, because the committee requested that, that must happen, so that we have a legislation that guides how to apply Section 139. Let's just say, must first have recovery plan, directives, and all sorts of things. So we want that type of I think what I say, legislation and regulation. In terms of, is it regulation or legislation? In terms of legislation, in terms of Section 139, subsection 8. Yeah, that's what that rule is. Say it must happen. Safe to say that we should not forget that Chapter 3 defines three spheres of governance rule. We can say whatever we say, but other things we can't impose at local government level. They have their own unique form of power that is like one thing, legislation and executive in one. And then once they take a resolution, they will create a deputy municipal mayor, a deputy municipal mayor, whatever. We will make this, but we might not be able to do that. I think it needs another, I don't know what form of legislation. In fact, the Structures Act and the Systems Act still need to be seriously looked into. Now we have amended the Systems Act because of what minimum standard. Who is making sure that they are implemented? That's another question. We have a new municipality. They are being appointed. Are they following the latter, the spirit of the amended system? But these are just wild questions that would just deal with them, and then maybe we'll find time sometimes and then engage with the proper politicians on this matter. Now let me take this opportunity really to thank you. Sure.
Excuse me, Chair. I just wanted to just put something regarding the two last issues you issued so that the context is clear. Regarding the Northwest, in particular, where we said that regarding this provincial coordinating committee, it gets coordinated by the office of the Premier. We understand some of the political things you are raising regarding MECs, but we think, in our view, based on what we know now, ever since they have done that, to be a progressive aspect which is assisting the process. Because what they are trying to do is, at the highest level, is to get the Deputy Director General in the Premier's office, making sure that the things run, then you've got the provincial treasury as well as the provincial department responsible for local government being guided at that highest level. And some of these synergies we are talking about when we talk about getting the financial aspect and the non-financial, so that is where it may be assisting. Because, for example, ever since they started doing that, the operation clean audit, the provincial coordinating committees in the Northwest, now, in terms of the frequency, for example, of their interaction, it has increased. They are meeting monthly. And, for example, they have already given us a calendar which goes up to February next year in terms of how they will be engaging. So that intervention, it appears to have yielded some fruit. So I just wanted to also assist you in bringing some of that context, that we think from where we are sitting at the technical level, it is assisting in taking that province forward. When the Section 139 legislation by COPDA, I think that is one thing when the department comes back to you at a higher level it will deal with that, because that is the that bill is still in development, so it's not off the radar screen. Something is being done on that as well. Thanks.
Let me agree that you have summarized things very well. I don't want to engage the point he's raising now, no? Because the situation we understand in the Northwest is not what he thinks now. And therefore, I don't want to go into the details of the matter, you see? Because I want to go back to the Northwest, and you'll come back and report to us. You'll give us a different story. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. He does not want to say, don't you think Section 100 somewhere must win? Not only 139. On a more lighter note, let me thank you very much. Thank you the Treasury, thank you the Department, thank everyone.